Well, last Sunday we talked about the light, how that God shines in the darkness and enlightens our souls and is the light of the world. This morning we want to reflect on the Word, the Word. We pick up where we left off last Sunday in John's Gospel, chapter 1. We're looking today at verses 14 to 18. And by the way, next Sunday, if you're looking ahead, we'll be talking about the Lamb. The Lamb. Here we are, John chapter 1, verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." Now, to understand what John was really talking about, we need to keep in mind that the Word is a reference to Jesus. And as he had put it in John 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." Let's not forget that Jesus was God, that Jesus was divine. Yes, he was also human, fully human, but he was very God, very divine. He was the Son of God. Now, having said that, what we want to do this morning is to look at four phrases that we find here in our text. They are, the Word became flesh, the Word dwelt among us, we beheld his glory, and of his fullness we have received. So that first phrase, I'm telling you, it's absolutely phenomenal. The Word became flesh. The Word became flesh. The term that theologians use to refer to this matter of God taking on human form is incarnation. So, Philip Yancey, in his book, The Jesus I Never Knew, says he learned about incarnation when he kept a saltwater aquarium. Managing a marine aquarium, he discovered, is no easy matter because he had to operate this portable laboratory to monitor the nitrate levels and the ammonia content, and he pumped in vitamins and antibiotics and sulfa drugs and enough enzymes, he said, to make a rock grow, and he filtered the water through glass fibers and charcoal and exposed it to ultraviolet light. And he said, you would think of all the energy expended on their behalf that the fish would at least be grateful. Not so. He said, every time my shadow loomed above the tank, they dove for cover underneath the nearest shell. And they showed me only one emotion, that of fear. So Philip continued to say, although I opened the lid and I dropped in food on a regular basis, three times a day, they responded each time as a sure sign of my designs to torture them. I couldn't convince them of my true concern. To my fish, I was deity. I was too large for them, to my actions too incomprehensible. My acts of mercy they saw as cruelty. My attempts at healing them they viewed as destruction. To change their perceptions, I began to see, would require a form of incarnation. I'd have to become a fish and speak to them in a language that they could understand. Oh. You know, we may not always think of it in these terms, but, you know, the Bible speaks of incarnation. Of incarnation, of the Word becoming flesh in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8. Listen carefully. Paul said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of a fish. Well, no, coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And it goes on to say how that God therefore has highly exalted him and given him that name which is above all names. Jesus didn't become like a fish when he came to earth. Why? He wasn't wanting to identify with fish. His goal was to reach out to people. God's desire was to communicate with people like you and I, that you and I might come to understand his purposes and his plan and his desires and his longing. His longing that you and I might respond to his love. You see, when we understand what was behind the incarnation, we can't help but be in awe. Why? The Bible says, "In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him." In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. So in 1 John 4, 9 and 10. So the Word became flesh, in that the Son of God came into the world as a human being. Jesus was both very God and very man. He was both fully divine and fully human. Now, there's more, like I said. Let's think now about that second phrase that we find in our text. We also need to ponder the fact that the Word dwelt among us. The Word dwelt among us. When I was in grade school at Walnut Creek Elementary, yeah, that's down there in the hills of Holmes County, if you don't know where Walnut Creek is at, I remember one day James Rhodes came to our school assembly. And I don't think I was the only one that went home and said, "Hey, guess who showed up? The governor of the state of Ohio had come to our little town and was in our school." Last week, some of us were reminiscing or were reflecting about the time that Damaris Carbaugh did a concert at our church. And Diane and I were somewhat amazed and blessed that Damaris and her husband were just fine with staying at our house overnight. We had a wonderful time of fellowship, and it was touching to have them explain how it is that they accepted the invitation for her to come here. They said they get all these invitations and they spread them out on their kitchen table and they pray over them, and then the ones that they feel led to respond to, they do. The Holy Spirit guiding, you see. What about the time when some of us were at the Mennonite Convention in Atlanta, and guess who came to town? The keynote speaker that night, the combined youth and adult convention, was the former President Jimmy Carter. And you would have all your, you have stories to tell. Guess who was in town today? Guess who stopped by? And all of that. But you know what? All of these stories, as significant as they may be to us at the time and at the moment, pale in comparison to the Word dwelling among people. The MSG puts it like this: the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Did you get that? The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Jesus wasn't just passing by. He wasn't just on tour. This was not just a one-night gig. Jesus, God incarnate, moved into the neighborhood. Now, I'm going to turn in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, to verses 18 to 23, where we see this spoken of as well. It gets us right into the heart of the Christmas story. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name, what? Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. Yes. And this entire passage is pregnant with meaning and significance. There is, for example, the matter of the virgin conception. Joseph and Mary had never come together physically. From a human standpoint, it was impossible to have a baby. But we realize that this was not business as usual. This was the God of the impossible intervening. This was a divine work. This was a thing that the Spirit was bringing into being, was bringing to pass that which would eventually make possible redemption for you and I. There's also the matter of prophecy being fulfilled. Yeah, years before that, or generations earlier, Isaiah had spoken of this very thing coming to pass. And as we think of how things came to pass as a result of God speaking through the prophets, it would behoove us then to also be mindful of what the Word tells us is yet to come, namely that Jesus is coming again. What I wanted to emphasize, however, has to do with the name which was to be given Jesus. Emmanuel, as we've all noted here, means God with us. It was an amazing thing to actually have God be dwelling among the people. But it is equally amazing, brothers and sisters, that God dwells within his people today in the person of the Holy Spirit, and that he is with us. I don't know, perhaps you're here this morning. We come from so many different life experiences, and perhaps you're this morning feeling a little bit discouraged. Sometimes folks feel a little alone, even though they're among people. Have you felt that God perhaps was distant? If so, let me remind you of what Jesus told his disciples. He said this in Matthew chapter 28, verse 10. It was after the resurrection, just prior to his ascension. He said, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. So the Word became flesh. The Word dwelt among us. Thirdly, then, the phrase from our text that we need to ponder is, we beheld his glory. We beheld his glory. Now, we've all heard people talk about how children favor their parents. We heard it in the children's message this morning. So you have somebody looking at that six-month-old baby and saying, look at that chin and that nose. Ooh, she's just a splitting image of her mother. Or they look at that toddler and say, notice how he's walking and the way he laughs. Yeah, just a chip off the old block. No doubt about that. I'd like you to notice today what the Bible says about Jesus in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. I do believe this is all one sentence. So we need to read all four verses here. But God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So tell me, how is it that people that were around the baby Jesus, and then a little bit later around the young carpenter, and then a little bit later around the one that had this incredible teaching and did these phenomenal miracles, how is it that they beheld the glory of God? Well, it's because the Son mirrors the Father. It's because Jesus the Son is stamped with God, the Father's nature. When God took on human flesh and moved into the neighborhood, people were able to experience God in a way that they had not previously. As John put it in our text, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. By the way, here's another thing. Experiencing God's glory is not just something from the past. It's not just something from the Christmas story. It's for you and I today. And John W. Peterson put it in verse, in song, that he called Heaven Came Down. That's right. Verse 1 of that song, "Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day, day I will never forget. After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling, with joy I am telling, he made all the darkness depart." And then the chorus of that song, "Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul." All right. It almost takes one's breath away, doesn't it? But I said there are four things today, so the Word became flesh, the Word dwelt among us, we beheld his glory. The fourth phrase from our text is equally rich: of his fullness we have all received. Of his fullness we have received. Let's look again at verses 16 and 17 here. "And of his fullness we have all received, and grace, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Now, when I was growing up, it was during the time that Polaroid cameras came into being. Any of you ever used a Polaroid camera? Yeah. It was fascinating. And you would snap a picture, you'd pull out this photo pack thing, and then you would wait for the image to fully appear. At first it was just sort of an image, and then, you know, it would become more and more clear. It would take a bit of time for things to fully develop. And in a way, things were only partially developed in God's plan for the ages during the time of Moses. And the image became clear then with the coming of Jesus. God's plan for our redemption became fully exposed, became fully clear as God, as Jesus, moved into the neighborhood, bringing with him both grace and truth. Now, the Apostle Paul spoke to the implications of this, the fullness of Christ, and the implications of that in Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 to 22. Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 to 22. For it pleased the Father that in him, in Christ, should all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. So I wonder if you get the picture. Has the reality of all this fully developed in your mind and in your heart? Of what really took place, of what really you and I can experience and can be ours, of what Jesus came to make something available to us that we don't deserve, and yet that God desires for us to experience. God's desire is that you and I are reconciled to him, with him, and that we have peace. We have peace through faith in Jesus Christ, a peace that the written word describes as passing all understanding. Now, John Peterson gave testimony of that in the second verse of Heaven Came Down. Born of the Spirit with life from above, into God's family divine, justified fully through Calvary's love. Oh, what a standing is mine! And the transaction so quickly was made, when as a sinner I came, took of the offer of grace he did proffer. He saved me. Oh, praise his dear name! And yeah, really, I hope that that's your testimony as well. I trust that if it is not, that it will be before the end of the day. And my prayer for you this morning is Paul's prayer for those at Ephesus, that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. It's actually part of two different verses there, but imagine that. Christ may dwell in our hearts. The reality of Emmanuel. Christ may dwell in our hearts and that we might experience the fullness of God. So, Jesus, the Word, Emmanuel, God with us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for what you put into motion for our well-being and our salvation, our rescue, our redemption. We thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity and the privilege of being your sons and your daughters, of life with you, of you being with us and among us. Lord, we pray that you would continue by your Spirit to be at work and to bring life and light all around this world of ours that is broken and needy, and we recognize it is nothing short of the grace of God in Jesus Christ that is the answer. May your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, may you continue to bring heaven down to earth, and we experience your glory, and we live with and in your fullness. we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.